Having looked at income tax on discretionary trusts and interest in possession trusts, we shall now turn our attention to accumulation and maintenance trusts. An A&M trust was a special sort of hybrid discretionary trust which could have been created before the 22nd of March 2006. The rules regarding such trusts have changed with effect from the 22nd of March 2006, so no new A&M trusts can now be created. Trusts made before the 22nd of March 2006 will continue to run for income tax purposes until such time as the trust comes to an end. The trust will usually end when a beneficiary becomes absolutely entitled to the trust capital, which could be as much as 25 years after creation. You will still therefore need to be able to deal with A&M trusts, even though it is no longer possible to create any new ones. The main distinguishing feature of an A&M trust is that the beneficiary's entitlements under the terms of the trust will change at a specified age, which cannot exceed the age of 25. The specified age will usually be stipulated within the trust deed. You should note, however, that under the provisions of Section 31 of the Trustee Act 1925, if the trust deed does not stipulate a specified age, the beneficiary will attain an interest in possession at the age of 18. At the specified age, the beneficiaries must either receive an interest in possession in part of the fund or absolute entitlement to a share of the trust capital. In this example, when the eldest beneficiary reaches, say, the age of 25, he will either be entitled to one-third of the trust income or will be able to take one-third of the trust assets outright. Therefore, before the beneficiaries reach the specified age, the trust is treated, for income tax purposes, as a discretionary trust. Therefore, whilst no beneficiary has an interest in possession, we will tax the income using the discretionary trust rules. However, once the beneficiaries are given an interest in possession in part of the trust, we tax the trust income using the interest in possession rules. Therefore, there are no separate rules for income tax on accumulation and maintenance trusts. We will simply use the rules we looked at in the previous two lectures. Where all the beneficiaries are under the specified age, none of the beneficiaries has a right to income, and the trustees may accumulate the income within the trust at their discretion. Let us take an accumulation and maintenance trust which gives beneficiaries an interest in possession at the age of 25 and a right to capital at the age of 35. This satisfies the conditions in Section 71 of the Inheritance Tax Act and will therefore be a valid A&M settlement. The trust has three beneficiaries aged 15, 19 and 21 respectively. At this current point in time, none of the beneficiaries has an interest in possession. During this period, the trustees will either accumulate the income or use the income for the maintenance, education or benefit of the beneficiaries. Any distributions to the beneficiaries will be entirely at the discretion of the trustees. In the period until the beneficiaries reach the age of 25, for income tax purposes, we treat the trust as a discretionary trust. Therefore, the income will be subject to the rates applicable to discretionary trusts, i.e. the first £1,000 charged at the basic rate, then at 50% on non-savings income and bank interest, and 42.5% on dividends. The trustees will receive tax relief for trust management expenses. As with discretionary trusts, expenses properly chargeable against the income of the trust will be grossed up and deducted from dividend income first. As is also the case for discretionary trusts, the trustees must maintain a tax pool to make sure that the tax credits claimed by the beneficiaries does not exceed tax paid by the trustees. Any distributions to beneficiaries in this period will be made net of a 50% tax credit. Let us now consider the position where the beneficiaries have an interest in possession in the fund. Again, we have an accumulation and maintenance trust in which the beneficiaries are entitled to a share of the income at age 25 and an absolute entitlement to capital at age 35. The trust has three beneficiaries aged 26, 30 and 32 respectively. In this situation, all of the beneficiaries have reached the specified age and they are thereby entitled to a share of the income of the trust. None of the beneficiaries is yet entitled to a share of the trust capital, as they are all under the age of 35. Once the youngest beneficiary has reached the age of 35, all capital will have been distributed and the trust will be wound up. At the moment, all beneficiaries have an interest in possession in the fund. Therefore, for income tax purposes, we treat the A&M trust in exactly the same way as an interest in possession trust. This means that the trust income will be charged at the basic and lower rates as appropriate. No relief will be given for any expenses of managing the trust. Trust expenses will only need to be taken into account in calculating the distributable income for each of the three beneficiaries. As we did for interest in possession trusts, we will work out each beneficiary's entitlement to the net trust income after tax and expenses, and this net income will be certified by the trustees on Form R185. Finally, let us consider an accumulation and maintenance trust where some of the beneficiaries have reached the specified age and others have not. Again, we assume we have an A&M trust under which the beneficiaries receive an interest in possession at age 25 and capital at age 35. Again, there are three beneficiaries, one aged 23, one aged 27, and one aged 29. The beneficiary aged 23 has not yet attained the specified age and does not have an interest in possession in the fund. This beneficiary therefore has no income entitlement and can only receive income if the trustees exercise their discretion in his or her favour. However, the two elder beneficiaries have reached the specified age and each will be entitled to a one-third share of the trust income. As one of the three beneficiaries does not have an interest in possession, one-third of the trust income is taxed under the discretionary trust rules. Therefore, one-third of the income will be charged at the rates applicable to discretionary trusts, i.e. at the basic rate, then at 50% and 42.5% respectively, with appropriate relief for trust expenses. As two of the beneficiaries are entitled to income, two-thirds of the trust income will be charged to tax under the interest in possession rules. Therefore, two-thirds of the trust income will be charged at the basic and lower rates with no relief for expenses. By way of an example, here we have an accumulation and maintenance trust with three beneficiaries. Peter is 29, Paul is 27, and Mary is 23. The trust provides for each beneficiary to be given an interest in possession in one-third of the trust at age 25 and an absolute entitlement to their share of trust capital at age 35. As you will see, Peter and Paul have both reached the specified age and therefore have an interest in possession in one-third each of the fund. Mary has not yet reached the age of 25, so she does not have an interest in possession. The income and expenses of the trust are as per your screen. Our requirement is to calculate the income tax payable by the trustees. We will start by preparing the computation in the normal way. The trustees had rental income of £48,000. The net bank interest is grossed up to £15,000. The net dividends of £8,100 are grossed up to become £9,000. This is the total income received by the A&M trustees. The next step is to strip out any income received by the trustees which is subject to an interest in possession. Peter and Paul are both above the age of 25, so each of them is entitled to a one-third share of the trust income. We therefore remove two-thirds of the rental income, two-thirds of the bank interest, and two-thirds of the dividend. What we are left with is the income which is not subject to an interest in possession. We've called this Mary's Fund. This one-third of trust income will be taxed under the discretionary trust rules. As this income is taxed as if it was income received by a discretionary trust, a measure of relief is available for trust management expenses. The trust expenses in the year were £2,700. These must be grossed up and deducted from dividend income. However, As we are only taxing one-third of the income under the discretionary trust rules, it stands to reason that we should only take a deduction for one-third of the trust management expenses. £2,700, when grossed up at 100 over 90, gives £3,000. We can take a deduction for one-third of this figure, being £1,000. The income which is liable at the rates applicable to trusts is as per your screen. The first £1,000 of the non-savings income is charged at the basic rate of 20%. The rest of the non-savings income is taxed at 50%. The bank interest is taxed at 50%, whilst the dividends of £2,000 are charged at the trust dividend rate of 42.5%. What we have done in this computation is simply to take all of the trust income and then to remove any income which is subject to an interest in possession. This will leave us with the income which is taxed according to the discretionary trust rules, which we will tax on the next page. Let us now tax the income which is subject to the discretionary trust rules. The first £1,000 of the rental income is taxed at the basic rate of 20%. The rest of the rental profits and the bank interest is charged at 50%. The dividends of £2,000 are taxed at 42.5%. The income used to pay the trust expenses, that is £1,000, is charged at the normal dividend rate of 10%. The tax liability before credits is therefore £11,150. The bank interest has suffered 20% tax at source, and the dividends carry a notional 10% tax credit. The tax on the discretionary part of the trust, i.e. on Mary's fund, is therefore £9,850. All we've done here is to tax one-third of the trust income using the discretionary trust rules. We also need to tax the remaining two-thirds of the trust income. Both Peter and Paul have reached the age of 25, so are entitled to an interest in possession in the trust. The income arising in Peter and Paul's fund is therefore charged at the interest in possession rates of 20% and 10%. The A&M Trust had total rental income of £48,000. We have taxed one-third of this under the discretionary trust rules, so we now need to tax the remaining two-thirds, i.e. £32,000, under interest in possession rules. Interest in possession trusts pay tax at the basic rate on rental income, so the tax liability here is £6,400. The trustees also had bank interest and dividends, both of which suffered tax at source. Trustees of interest in possession trusts do not pay any further tax on taxed income. The only tax on the interest in possession part of the fund is therefore basic rate tax on the rental income. The total tax payable by the A&M Trust is therefore £16,250. As you have seen, there are no special rules for calculating income tax liabilities for A&M Trusts. We simply work out what proportion of the trust income is subject to an interest in possession. Having done this, we tax part of the income using interest in possession trust rules, part using discretionary trust rules, and then add the two tax liabilities together. Let us now turn our attention to the tax position of the beneficiaries of an accumulation and maintenance trust. Going back to the previous example, Mary was aged 23 and therefore had no interest in possession in the trust. Mary will therefore only be taxed on discretionary distributions made to her by the trustees. One of the conditions of an accumulation and maintenance trust is that if the beneficiary does not have an interest in possession, the trustees can either accumulate income or distribute it for the maintenance, education, or benefit of the beneficiary. As is the case for distributions from a discretionary trust, if an A&M trust makes a distribution to a discretionary beneficiary, it is made net of a 50% tax credit. Any distributions to Mary will be certified by the trustees on Form R185. Mary will enter the gross amount of the trust income on her self-assessment return and will receive a 50% tax credit. If Mary is a 50% taxpayer, no extra tax will be due. However, beneficiaries of accumulation and maintenance trusts tend to be relatively young and therefore have relatively low incomes. So if Mary's income is less than £150,000, some or all of the tax credit will be repaid. Peter and Paul are both over the age of 25, so they each have an interest in possession in the trust. Each is entitled to a one-third share of trust income. The trustees are therefore obliged to distribute the income to each of the beneficiaries after any tax and expenses have been withheld. The net income and the tax deducted from the income will also be certified to the beneficiaries on Form R185. Again, if Peter and Paul are higher rate taxpayers, they will pay additional tax on the trust income. However, this time there is a look-through principle, i.e., each beneficiary is deemed to have received rental income net of a 20% tax credit, bank interest net of a 20% tax credit, and dividends net of a 10% tax credit. Higher rate tax on these different sources of income will be paid in the usual way. To complete this example, let us take one of the interest in possession beneficiaries, i.e. Peter, and calculate the income which is distributable to him. One third of the gross income of the trust is as per your screen. As this is income which is effectively arising to an interest in possession trust, tax is deducted from this income at 20% and 10% respectively. From the net income, the trustees must account for trust management expenses. The trust expenses in the year were £2,700. One third of the trust expenses relate to Peter's fund. Therefore, £900 of expenses are deemed to have been met out of Peter's entitlement to dividend income. Peter is therefore entitled to net income of £18,600 as per the screen. This income must be certified by the trustees on Form R185. Peter therefore has net rental income of £12,800. This is gross rents of £16,000 with a 20% tax credit. The net bank interest of £4,000 is gross interest with a 20% tax credit. The net dividend of £1,800 grosses up to £2,000 with a 10% credit. Again, this process of calculating the beneficiary's income entitlement will be familiar to you from the session on interest in possession trusts. The final point to consider in this session on the taxation of accumulation and maintenance trusts is how we deal with the situation when a beneficiary reaches a specified age partway through the tax year. If a beneficiary becomes entitled to income partway through the tax year, an apportionment will be required to work out the income of the trust before and after the beneficiary's birthday. For example, let us take an A&M trust under which a beneficiary becomes entitled to income at the age of 25. In this example, a beneficiary reaches the age of 25 on the 6th of January 2011, that is, partway through the tax year 2010-11. Therefore, the beneficiary does not have any entitlement to trust income received by the trustees between the 6th of April 2010 and the 5th of January 2011. Any income arising in this period may be accumulated by the trustees or distributed at their discretion. However, any income received by the trustees on or after the 6th of January 2011 cannot be accumulated within the trust. The beneficiary has an interest in possession from the 6th of January 2011 onwards, so any income received by the trustees after this date must be paid out to him. The final question to consider here is how we apportion the income either side of the 6th of January 2011. As we shall see, it depends entirely on the type of income received by the trustees. For income such as bank interest or dividends, the income is allocated to the period in which it is physically received. For example, if the trustees receive a dividend in December 2010, it is allocated to the first period and is not therefore income to which the beneficiary is entitled. However, if the trustees receive bank interest on, say, the 31st of March 2011, this income must be paid to the beneficiary. Note, we do not time apportion here. Interest and dividends are identified on a receipts basis. Rental income is apportioned on an accruals basis. This is the normal basis of assessment for rental income. For example, if the trustees receive rental income of, say, £12,000 in the tax year 2010-11, we would simply say that 9/12 of this income,
i.e. £9,000, fell before the 5th of January 2011 and may therefore be accumulated within the trust. However, the remaining 3/12 of rental income, i.e. £3,000, is income to which the beneficiary is entitled. If the trustees had a trade and therefore had trading profits, such profits would also be apportioned on an accruals basis. Trust expenses may also be dealt with on a similar basis. Therefore, trust expenses are deemed to have accrued evenly throughout the year. Therefore, 9/12 of the trust expenses will relate to the discretionary part of the fund and will receive a measure of tax relief. For trusts in which there are a large number of beneficiaries, this is a very important practical issue, as year on year it is highly probable that one or more of the beneficiaries will become entitled to income partway through the year. The apportionment of income either side of the beneficiary's birthday is not a particularly technical exercise. However, when putting together the trust return, it is important that you adopt the correct basis and identify dates of receipt for interest and dividends.